Third's a Charm. Written by Arsenic, read by a literal garbage heap. Summary. Adam asks a favor of Brand. Brand is holed up in the house's armory doing a routine inventory and cleaning when Adam corners him. That is, Adam stands in the doorway respecting that this is Brand's space and says, "I was hoping to catch you alone. Have a moment?" It's not beyond the realm of possibility that Brand has sensed Adam's desire to speak and has been avoiding him. But Adam has found him, fair and square, so Brand disassembles his CZ-75B and says, "Yeah." Adam stays where he is, which is both a good move and annoyingly respectful. It's not that Brand dislikes Adam, it's that Brand doesn't dislike Adam. And yes, he knows that's irrational. Things between him and Rune are many things. Rational is almost never one of them. After a moment, Adam asks, "How much do you know about Rune and I having sex?" Brand doesn't look up from the handgun. He needs time to consider what the hell he wants to say to that. Rune and him haven't spoken about it. He knows Rune, though, at times better than himself. And in the end, he settles on, "I know nothing has happened since the first time, and I know he's still with you. And those two facts tell me enough. I want him to feel safe. Always. And I've thought about this a lot. About how he works. How we work. Just all of it. And I've realized, for that to be the case, I need help. Your help." Brand looks up at that. "Adam. Listen, alright? Listen, and then you can say no. Or yell at me. Or both." "Yell at you?" Brand asks. Adam shrugs. "You get a bit, I'm the adult in this room, at times." "You've met Rune." Adam inclines his head at this point. "Brand, he is safe with you and he knows it. Even when the two of you are in deadly peril, his sense of safety lies in the fact that you're there." Brand swallows a sigh. "What do you want, Adam?" "I want him to feel safe when we're having sex. Something that is already complicated enough without you being somewhere else." Brand goes over the conversation in his head, mostly trying to figure out if he's having a weird hallucination, or they haven't gotten everything out of the house, and he's being fucked with. The latter is unlikely. They've lived there for over 2 months, and this is the first sign of an issue, so probably not that. And he's never hallucinated before if someone wasn't actively fucking with his mind. That's not completely impossible, given the residents of the house and their assorted friends. To test the theory, he asks, "What's Quinn's middle name?" Adam looks puzzled by this question for a moment. Then, gently, he says, "I'm going to come into the room and touch your shoulder. I'm here and I'm real." He does that, with his flesh hand, and Brand can feel the touch on his shoulder. Fuck. Adam laughs, although not meanly. Of course not, because Adam is never intentionally mean. "Fuck, fuck, fuck, bears." Brand moves away from him. "I'll consider the situation." Quietly, Adam says, "I'm not asking for me. I wouldn't." Brand pins him with a look and tells him, "I'm not considering for you. I wouldn't." Rune holds off for 2 days before asking Brand, "What's going on with you and Adam?" It's a shocking amount of restraint. Not that Brand is going to recognize it in any way. He asked for a favor. Rune, who's been half-reading something on his phone, looks up. "A favor? Not for himself he didn't. Not from you." "Flattery will get you nowhere." Rune rolls his eyes. "Depends on the kind of flattery." "Brand, what?" Brand shakes his head. He needs Rune not to ask that question. "It's upsetting you. Do you want me to tell him to... I can fight my own battles." "Yeah, I'm not entirely sure this is your battle, and you have to fight mine often enough. Can't hurt to return the favor now and then." Brand runs a hand over his face. "Rune, first of all, you idiot, that's my job description. Probably literally, although Lord only knows where they keep that tome. Secondly, he isn't in the wrong here. But I have to make some decisions. Because if I say yes, even if nothing comes of it, there are certain things that can't be undone. Rune gets in his space then, clearly working to read what's going on. In the end, he puts his hand on the back of Bran's head and pulls their foreheads together for a long, quiet moment. Then, without a word, he walks out of the room. Bran wakes in the middle of the night with his heart pounding. There's adrenaline flooding his mouth, and although he doesn't remember the nightmare, he knows himself enough to be certain it was about Rune. About that night. Running a hand over his face, he says, "Fuck," and gets up. He's not going back to sleep. Instead, he goes down to the training area and gets on the treadmill, uses the fading adrenaline to find a good pace, and sinks into the mindlessness of the activity. After an hour, he forces himself to stop running and stretches out. Adam is right. This is the crux of Bran's problem. Well, this, and the fact that as easy as everything else in the world's been with Rune, this is the one area they've both stridently avoided exploring. There are triggers there just waiting to be discovered and tripped. And at the same time, they both know, no matter what, that they'll do their utmost to avoid harming the other. The whole thing is one nasty snarl, and that's without even bringing the question of feelings into it. Although, strangely, Bran thinks that might not be such a big part of the equation. Not because there aren't feelings between them, just because their feelings are immutable. Rune and he are what they are to each other. Helping out with or engaging in each other's sex lives doesn't change that. It just creates a new dimension in it. This awareness brings him back around to his starting point. Adam is right, at least regarding Rune's sense of security. Bran sighs. It had been such a nice couple of days, pretending there was a world in which he wouldn't do anything to ease the path for Rune. Bran finds Adam when he's reading by himself and says, "We ask Rune if he's all right with it first." He gets an undeniable thrill watching Adam nearly peel away from his own bones in shock. Putting a hand against the wall to steady himself, Adam looks over at Bran and lifts an eyebrow. Bran shrugs. "Couldn't help myself." After a moment, Adam says, "Yes, Rune's consent to this is, in fact, rather central." Stated like that, Bran can see how he sounded like an idiotic dick munch there. "But then, so is yours," Adam says. Bran finds himself blinking. It's not that he didn't know that, or even that he didn't know Adam knew. It's that he didn't know Adam cared. In retrospect, that wasn't fair. Adam is an almost offensively good guy. "When would you like to talk with him?" Adam asks. "And do you want me there or not?" Bran isn't the type to hesitate once a decision has been made. "Tonight, after dinner. And you'll be there. If we're doing this together, we're doing this together." Adam dips his head in assent. Bran turns on his heel and goes to find something to hit. The three of them don't end up getting a chance to talk until the younger kids are in bed, and the older ones have the decency to act like teenagers and hold themselves away. Corianne is out for a run, and Queenie's retired to her wing, so the three of them can sit in the den. It's neutral territory. Bran doesn't want this being done in a bedroom. There's an awkward silence when they sit. After a bit, Rune says, "So, this is weird and unsettling." Adam laughs, and Bran is hard-pressed not to. Instead, he says, "Your idea, you start," to Adam, which gets him to stop laughing real quick. Rune says, "I'm starting to think someone died. Did someone die?" "Nobody died," Bran tells him. Then amends that to, "recently." "I asked him to join us," Adam says softly, "to allow you safety and intimacy." There's a moment of utter stillness before Rune says, "That's..." He blinks and turns to Bran. "You agreed to this?" "I agreed to discuss this with you, if it was something you wanted. Nothing more." Rune's eyes are just a hair short of taking on aspect. "You have got to be shitting me." "Rune, shut up!" Rune cuts Bran off. "You know damn well there are very few times when you have to do something simply because I need you to do it. No input on your side, and I would think this would be very obviously not one of them." Bran breathes through the instinctive gut punch of Rune's panic. "Adam, can you give us the room for a minute?" Adam moves to the hall, closing the French doors behind him, and Bran says, "Don't be a fucking idiot." Oh, I'm the idiot. Stop. You're not forcing me to do this. You wouldn't, even if it was the only thing that would save you and Adam. I'm not you, Rune. I'm not. But I was there. I was... Brand forces himself to inhale. I was there. Brand. Rune steps into his space, not touching, just standing there. He came to me and asked for my help on your behalf, and I told him I would think about it, and I did. I thought about it, and this is the decision I made. Now it's your turn to think. The problem, Rune says quietly, is that I don't have to think. Not really. Not if I believe it's what you want. Brand closes his eyes and pulls Rune into an embrace. Stop fighting against yourself so damn hard. That and you have kept me alive. Trust me when I say I can do it on my own. Rune's, I trust you, takes a while to come and is shaky. For all that, it's sincere. The decision having been made is one thing. Actually doing anything about it? That's very clearly going to be another. It gets to a point where Max asks Rune if things are all right, body language tense. Rune gets him calmed down and says, okay, we're gonna do this before someone in this household loses their mind. Adam nods. Tonight, my rooms. Brand cocks an eyebrow. Adam says, he can't have possibly unfortunate memories in his or your rooms. This way, Brand holds a hand up. It makes sense. He doesn't love it, but it makes sense. That works. Tonight, Rune says. Good. Adam, unsurprisingly, has done everything possible to make his room a calming space. He's so fucking thoughtful. It's as annoying as it is useful, since if he wasn't, Brand would probably have to kill him. The lights are low-lit blue. There's fresh air coming in from several opened windows. He's airing a bottle of wine and has made sure they have plenty of water. There's even grapes and cheese. Because Adam. Despite all of this, Rune is wearing bravado like a coat. And suddenly, there's nothing complicated about this. Brand is here for Rune, just as always. Brand says, come here. And Rune comes, like he always has when Brand has told him and meant it. Like Rune isn't one of the world's most powerful people. Brand runs his fingers through Rune's hair, and without even meaning for it to happen, they're kissing. Brand always thought this would be awkward if they took this step. It's not, though. Like everything else, it's just them. Rune pulls away enough to breathe, enough to say, Adam. Hero? Adam sounds uncertain. Brand finds he doesn't like it as much as he thought he would. He puts his hand out. Rune smiles against his jaw. Adam, uncertain or not, doesn't hesitate, taking the invitation, putting himself beside Brand so they're both there for Rune, but not surrounding him. Rune smiles at Adam. It's a smile Brand knows, but rarely sees. It makes him look as young as he is, as they are. From the look on Adam's face, Brand doesn't think he's seen this smile before, seen Rune's face so open. Well, Rune taunts, gonna kiss me or gonna make Brand do all the work? Adam laughs, bends down for a kiss. Brand has seen them together, of course. He's even seen them kiss. There's very little of Rune's life he doesn't see. He's never watched before. And watching, now, he can admit that the two of them are beautiful together. Regal, maybe, is the right word. Brand slips a hand under the hem of Rune's shirt, running his fingers up Rune's spine. Context is such a strange thing. He's checked Rune's spine for injuries more times than he can count. Rune presses back against the touch. Yeah, Brand murmurs. Right here. Rune finds Brand's free hand with one of his, clasping on tightly without ever breaking the kiss. It's Adam who draws back, who asks, good, hero? Rune's fingers tighten. Good. None of them are virgins, but Brand doesn't think any of the three of them have a vast amount of experience. He's certainly never been in bed with two men before. The logistics are complicated and awkward, and they spend a lot more of the night laughing with each other and having to try something else than actually having sex. At one point, they have to retrieve Adam from the floor when he falls off of the bed. It's silly and fun and somehow still hot. Adam cleans them up afterwards and brings them the snacks. Roon raises an eyebrow to say, "See?" Brand rolls his eyes. "Yeah, I know why he lives with us, dipshit." Roon laughs. Adam pauses for a second, aware he's missed something. He doesn't ask, though. He just holds out a piece of cheese for Brand. Brand takes it with his teeth, startling Adam into a laugh as well. Roon leans into Brand. Brand holds steady. The end. Thanks for listening.